In the holy name of Jesus, amen. For 11 chapters now in the book of Romans, of Paul's epistle, God has been at work. For 11 beautiful chapters. God has been at work specifically through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We could go all the way back to Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and hear about the power of the gospel, the dynamite of God unto the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, and then to Gentiles like me, Gentiles like us. God has been at work. With his law, he has been exposing us, which is a very uncomfortable thing, something most often that people run from. With his law, he has been exposing us, but he never stops there. We may be stripped down naked by his law, but he is a God who covers. And so having exposed us by his law, he covers sinners with his gospel. And he not only covers us with his gospel, but then he says, I now name you as my saints. We get life, forgiveness, and salvation all through the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's right. For 11 chapters now, God has been at work, and then we arrive at our epistle today, Romans 12, 9 to 21. In 13 quick verses, you and I get 30 fresh commands. I counted them up twice, right? 13 quick verses, 30 fresh commands. God has been at work up through chapter 11, but it appears now that we are moving beyond the gospel to you. It's time for you to get to work. Time for all of us to get to work. Let's take a sampling here, starting at verse 9. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. And to skip down into kind of the middle grouping, the second grouping. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. And then verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. By the way, looking at verse 16 and 18, I find it beautiful. He says, live in harmony with one another. And then two verses later, he says, yeah, if it's possible. If it's possible at all, be at peace with each other. And all of this is just a sampling. Maybe a dozen of the 30 commands that come down to us freshly here. God was at work for 11 solid chapters, but now in chapter 12, we move on to you. How are you doing when it comes to this list? How are you doing? Are you acing the list? Are you getting a passing grade? Ruffner kids, right? Yamaguchi kids, are you getting a passing grade? Oh, I just saw some of your faces. Maybe you're not doing so well. Maybe you could use some tutoring, maybe some extra credit, right? Maybe a mentor along the way. Maybe just another cup of caffeine and some probiotics. You need something, though. I know that much. Because when I ask that question, how are you doing? The answer probably isn't all that great. I mean, we had the original Ten Commands in the Old Testament. We were already struggling with those, and now we get 30 fresh ones. How are you doing? Yeah, I suppose that 30 commands, 30 imperatives in just 13 verses is a little steep. And I suppose as we look at this, we could even give it a name. We could call it Paul's Great List of To-Dos. But you know, I've seen people before in the face of to-dos pretty excited about them. Just a couple of years ago at the east end of the valley on a hill, a beautiful day, like hurricane winds. It was with you, Corey and Autumn. I told you I was going to pick on you today. It was their wedding in a beautiful location on a mountainside. And I gave them their vows. lots of vows, lots of to-dos. And they very eagerly looked at each other and they said, I do and I will, right? I was there. Were you there? You remember it? You might not remember it, but we do, some of us, all right? Yeah. There's times in our lives when we get a list of to-dos and we're pretty darn excited about them. Everyone there at the wedding, so beautiful, so clean, so polished, everything almost just right. We weren't expecting the winds, right? Almost. And there's two of them, such as Corey and Autumn, such as many of us, and many more to come. And in light of a great list of to-dos, we give a very affirmative answer, maybe even with tears in our eyes, because we can't wait to get about this list. And we say, I do and I will. But I've seen others as well in the face of to-dos, struggling. I can think of some teacher friends of mine, 25 plus years into teaching. They're still glad to be a teacher, but they're a little more jaded now. It's a little harder every summer to work themselves up to head back to the classroom. I can see them gearing up for it, trying to revive that loving feeling that's gone, right? And I can think of a teacher, maybe when they were young, maybe before their very first year, maybe they latched on even here to the epistle reading from Paul, and they jotted it down in a journal that they get out every year. They're getting ready for the students, and they read it one more time. Let love be genuine. But that teacher's not feeling very genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold to what is fast, love one another with brotherly affection. That's tough with some of these kids. Outdo one another in showing honor. And then they get down a few verses to verse 14. Bless those who persecute you, right? Bless and do not curse them. And that teacher gets stuck right there because the school years are often difficult. Yeah, the newlyweds' loving feeling wears off in marriage and in life too. So I'll ask you again, now that God is no longer at work and we're in chapter 12 and Paul's pointing at you, how are you doing? Maybe you've got youthful zeal to tackle this list, or maybe you've lost that loving feeling also. In either case, you are the same person. We are the same people. For we may start with zeal and confidence, but given enough time in this life, we will grow weary. And the law of God will wear us down and show us our weakness, and show more than weakness. The law of God will even show death at work in our limbs. So let it be known, church. Let it be marked in time, maybe in your bulletins, maybe not in your Bibles, but who knows, maybe in your Bibles, that I fibbed with you this morning. I lied to you this morning. I tried pulling one over on you, you could say. For hear this very clearly. There is no moving beyond the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's true for the first 11 chapters of Romans that God has been at work. But let me tell you what's not true. It's never true that he stops being at work in and amongst his people. It's true sometimes some of us are tempted to move beyond his work and try and go it on our own steam. Some churches and pastors also pass off the law as if it were gospel, or mingle the two in confusing ways. Or, in fact, try to just move beyond the gospel. Say, listen, it was the gospel of Jesus that brought you through the doors, but now that you're here, we need to work on you. All of that is true, but it is not true that God has ever done being at work graciously amongst his people, amongst us. For with God, you know, the one who saw your sin, your depravity, your rebellion, with God the Father who sent his only Son into our flesh, with this God, there is never a second of our lives where he would have us move beyond the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus. Rather, you could say the problem with our text today, in fact, the problem as it's printed in your bulletins before you today, the problem with our text today is that we started this text, as it's printed there, cut off from everything that came before it in Romans. Cut off also from the very first verse of chapter 12. It's not in your bulletins, but let me read it for you. It says this, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers," and then hear this phrase, "in view of God's mercies." In view of God's mercies. And what are those mercies? Well, Paul already gave them to us in Romans 5, not to read them and be done with them and put them in the rearview mirror, but to read them and receive them and treasure them and have them always before our eyes. And we could pick from any number of chapters. In Bible study on Tuesday nights recently, we've been in chapters 5 and 6. So let me give you a few choice verses from Romans 5. What are these mercies of God? Romans 5, verse 1. "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into His grace, in which we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Moving on to verse 6. "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ Jesus died for the ungodly." And verse 10. "For while we were enemies of God, we were reconciled by God by the death of His Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life," by His resurrection. Church, Christ is risen. I know we're seemingly out of season of that, but I'm glad to hear that from you on a Sunday morning. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And so in view of God's mercies, the death and resurrection of Jesus, and the fact that you are baptized into His death, your old self of sin and doubt and guilt and shame, has been crucified with Jesus and put away from you. And in your baptism into His death, you are also then baptized into His life. Paul tells us that there's at least two blessings from that. First, that presently, right now, even though you're sitting down, presently, right now, you walk around in newness of life. And in the future, just as He was raised bodily from the grave, you too, and I also, and all who trust in Jesus can look forward to a bodily resurrection where we are raised and brought before Him face to face. In view of God's mercies, how then shall we live? Maybe we could ask. And again, we're now faced up with this list. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Oh, we will still falter before this list. Amen?
Amen.
We will still falter before this list. But our falterings, our failures, no longer condemn us. This list no longer condemns us. Nor do we receive this list, even worse still, as some sort of homework towards salvation. Oh, it might be a righteous assignment, but none of us would pass, no, not even one. Rather, we can now receive Paul's great list as an enumeration of that the love of God shares with us through Christ Jesus, His Son. For the love of Jesus is genuine. Jesus abhors evil, but has overcome it by His own goodness and mercy, His body and blood. He rejoices with you when you rejoice, and Jesus weeps with you when you weep. He has brought peace and harmony between us and the Father, and He has overcome evil with good. And those are just a few of the things He has done and still does to this day and will do every day going forward. So now, having been marked by this Jesus, having been baptized into Him, we actually do have neighbors even neighbors sitting next to you, even here right now, brothers and sisters in Christ, family, friends, co-workers, people at the store, your actual neighbors next to your house, whom he calls us to serve and whom he serves through us. And so we approach this list not as homework until salvation, no longer as a list that condemns us, nor do we come up to a list like this, like love-struck newlyweds thinking we can do it, or like somebody jaded by time and circumstance. Rather, when we come up to chapter 12 and what Paul has to say here, we come to this list as those who never move beyond the gospel of Jesus, because Jesus and his gospel is always among us. We approach it as those who walk in newness of life through Jesus, and we approach it as those for whom the mercies of God in Christ Jesus are present every last day. And that is exactly who we are. God has made it so in Jesus' name. Amen.